And let's continue where we left off last week. Today's topic is use your talents. Quick reminder of the things we talked about last week, the next steps we want to take as a church, and a few things that we want to do immediately. We are currently in a sermon series on the topic of taking the initiative. Today is part two. I'm not sure yet whether we have a part three. I'll see how God leads, but definitely today. We'll focus on that one more time. We'll do Prepare and Rich for the next couple of months with some of the couples that were with us in November, and so we'll continue doing that throughout the month of February for sure. And then we'll plan on having monthly prayer meetings. We talked a little bit about it earlier. Once a month, we want to get together to pray. Not to listen to a sermon, not to do a Bible study, but just to pray. So tentatively, we'll do that also on Sundays before the service. That maybe we meet at 1:30 or something like that, so that it's not an extra day. I'll let you know this week when we plan the first one. So that is something we want to do now, this prayer meeting. We want to do these monthly meals. The first one is next Sunday, so invite your friends and spread the word. Originally, we thought of more an inreach, more of building community, but as we prayed, we felt that God also wants us to really add the focus of outreach and really letting people know, giving them at least once a month a chance to come here and just to fellowship and just to enjoy the community. We'll probably also share a testimony or something like that each time. We'll see how it goes. It will probably look very different 12 months from now, but we'll start now and we'll just learn as we go. We still have the open topic of reaching refugees. There we are currently exploring the possibilities. Nothing concrete yet, but it's something we want to explore more. We'll have the money talk in the spring. We don't know yet exactly when it'll be, but tentatively March 23rd. That is basically the finance series that we did here, just less religious. So focusing more on the practical part, focusing more on how, on good practices, how to manage money. And then it's a topic that I believe many non-Christians are interested in, and it's a great chance to get them here, build relationships, invest in their lives. And maybe some of them will then say, hey, that was useful for me, that was helpful, and this way we can build trust. And then we had a long-term goal back on that God brought back on the table, that is the Aletheia Kindergarten. Again, we talked about it last Friday as well. There's nothing concrete yet. We are praying whether this is really God. We're exploring the possibilities. So we'll have to see first what God says, because this would be a huge project and not something that we'll just try and see how it goes. So nothing concrete yet, but it's on the table. We're praying about it and see what God says. And then last Sunday, we had the topic of taking the initiative. Everyone has gifts. God gives everyone gifts, and he wants us to use these gifts for his glory. In this world, everything is about don't make mistakes. So you have to grow first. You have to earn your position first to make sure that you don't make mistakes. And then once you have grown enough, then you can take a position. Then you can take a role. Then you can take this role in the company or whatever. In God's kingdom, it's exactly the other way around. In God's kingdom, God says, use your gifts. And yes, you will make mistakes. Yes, sometimes you will fall and stumble, and that's okay. You will grow as you use your gifts. And the application for us then was the question, yeah, what is your gift? And then once we know what gift God has given us, the call is, use it. We don't want to be a church where the leadership does most of the work. We want to be a church where everyone contributes, where everyone brings in a gift, where everyone brings in something that they say, I'm good at this, and where everybody contributes in some form to the goals of this church. Of course, we'll make mistakes. Of course, sometimes we will say, okay, I tried, I failed. That's okay. But the biblical principle is use your gifts and grow as you use your gifts. And we want to be that kind of church where everyone takes the initiative. Which brings us to Layo, because last Friday she shared with us that she felt God was speaking to her and she took the initiative. And so, Layo, why don't you share what you felt God was telling you? That's up to you. Mediterranean.
So after the talk last Sunday, of course, before last Sunday, I've been having this Bible class in my mind, in Isaiah 43:18-19, that says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it springs forth. Shall ye not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and river in the desert." And I just thought, as this is talking, of course, to our personal life, but also to Aditya. Last year was a bit up and down, that things had happened, and it felt like we were in our crisis. But I feel God is saying, this year something is going to happen. And then that brings me to the next Bible verse that was reading into my heart. It's in Isaiah 10:12. It says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and bring righteousness upon you." So it's just coincide with what you were said to take initiative. He said we should sow to ourselves in righteousness. We should take initiative. Because the Bible says whatever you sow, you reap. And it says break up your fallow ground, like till the ground, till the field. So if we don't do anything, then when the rain comes, where does it follow? Does it follow an empty ground or a place where we've sown? So that's in mind, I just get in my spirit that we in Alicia, we should form a community for women. That's the focus, where we grow spiritually and also support each other both emotionally and physically. And we should start with ourselves, because when we have to learn to serve ourselves before we can say we want to serve outsiders. And with this outreach event coming up, which in refugees, there are a lot of people there who are spiritually and emotionally in despair. And if we could be that support from them, then we could like bring them to God. So when I had this, I was a bit, and that was my first time, so I wasn't sure if it was just me or, yeah, but it kept in my heart, so I took the initiative and I wrote your code myself. And I was about to delete the message. When I found out she responded already, I was like, okay. Yeah, it was too late. Because I was like, just do it. And I said, okay, let me just delete it before she reads it. But she's still out working. I said, oh, okay, I will call you up. I don't know. Yeah, she already read it. And I was like, what am I going to say when she calls me? Because I'm not even like, I don't even have a plan in my head, I'm not even querying anything, but yeah, I spoke to her, she said, oh, it's okay, and she said she'll pray about it, I'm still praying about it, and last week I heard, we also spoke about it in the group, and yeah, so I think that's it. So I think, yeah, God is calling us as a church to go out there and bring other people into God's fellowship, and we as women, when we reach other women, we are also reaching the family. Because, yeah, the women will raise the children and everything. So I think, yeah, so that's just it.
Okay, good. Thank you, Layo. It was a great encouragement to hear that last Friday and to just hear, like, how, yeah, like I was saying last Sunday, it's not just all coming through me or through Don, leadership or something like that, but God is speaking to different people, and like you, stepping up, sharing it with each other, so we pray with each other about, yeah, okay, what does that mean, how do we apply this, and all those things. To discern, of course, is it really God? That's a very important step as well. But that's basically what we were talking about last week. Take the initiative. When you hear something from God, when you have a gift, when you feel God is saying something, that we talk about it with each other, and then we discern together, and we move forward together. that's what we want to see more in this church. And like I said last Friday, I like the idea. I'm fully supporting it. And let's just keep on praying how this all fits together with the different things that this church is doing. All right. So with that being said, today we'll continue this topic from last week. And we look at the parable where Jesus focused on the same principle, the parable of the talents. It's found in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. And it's probably well known. Most of us have read it many times. Jesus said this: "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his own ability. And immediately he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not spread. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have what is yours.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not spread. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him who has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Yeah. All right, so that's the parable. Let's break it down a bit. Verses 14 and 15. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his own ability, and immediately took his journey." Now, we know this is a parable. So Jesus is explaining things about the kingdom of God to us through these kind of stories. And they all represent something, all these elements in there. The man is, of course, God. Servants, that's us. That's his children. That's his followers. And the story says that the master entrusted his goods to his servants. That should resonate with us as well in the bigger picture of the Bible. Everything in this world belongs to God. Whatever we see, whatever we have, or whatever we think is ours, actually belongs to God. It all came from him. It all belongs to him. So what are these talents? These talents represent everything that God has given us. That includes our relationships. That includes our family. All our relationships, all the people around us, everyone that we relate to, everyone that is important to us, is a gift from God. It includes our job and our money. We can't earn money by ourselves. We don't have the ability. God is the one giving us money. And so everything we have physical possessions, material possessions, is from God. It's His. It includes our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the way we treat our bodies matters to God. Whether we do substance abuse and drugs and all kinds of things and so on, or if we take care of our bodies and try to be healthy and try to live a healthy, a good, a long life. Our time, apart from God, apart from His grace, we would all be dead in a moment. Every day we have is a gift from God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. Every day we are alive is a gift from God. And so these talents in this parable really represent all these things. Every aspect of our lives, everything we have, everything, all our possessions, all our relationships, all our abilities are a gift from God. And how we use them matters, as we see in this parable. So this parable applies to any aspect, anything that we receive from God. But today I want to focus specifically on what we are talking about in this church right now, our gifts and our abilities. The spiritual gifts that God has given you, the spiritual gifts that God has given me. Things like hospitality, compassion, teaching, leadership, prophecy, all the gifts that the Bible mentioned. We looked at several of these passages last week of the gifts that God distributes to His people, to His church. That's what I want to focus on today the most. Yes, it does apply to money, it applies to our bodies, all these things. But keep in mind, our main focus today is when we read talents in this parable, it's about the gifts and the abilities God has given us. So with that foundation, verses 16 to 18, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So obviously there are 3 servants, and there are 2 very, very different strategies on what to do with this money that the master had given them. 2 of them understood that my master gave me this money because he wants me to multiply it. He didn't give it for me to just have a wild party. He didn't give it to me to use it on myself. He didn't give it to me so that I can have a nice life and that I can take care of my family and not worry about money for retirement or something like that. It's actually not mine. My master gave me this money. First of all, it's his. And secondly, he wants me to do something with it. He wants me to multiply it. They understood that. The third one didn't understand that. The third one, as we then later on see, he was afraid. The third one said, whatever I do, I cannot lose this talent. I cannot lose the money that my master gave me. So rather than taking risks, rather than trading and potentially losing or minimizing the value or something like that, and in the end I only have 1/2 talent left, so rather than taking the risk of losing it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that nobody takes it, that nothing happens to it. So my plan is I just put it somewhere away where nobody sees it, and when my master comes back, then I'll just give it back to him. So 2 very different strategies. 2 of them wanted to multiply it. The third one just had 1 thought: I can't lose it. I need to make sure that what my master has given me, that it doesn't disappear. Let's see what happened next, verses 19 to 23. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. enter into the joy of your Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's the first 2. They received talents, they multiplied them, and the master is telling them when he returns, you did it right. You got it. You understood what I wanted you to do. You did well. You managed what I have given you exactly the way I wanted you to manage it. And as a result, they received a reward. I will make you ruler over many things and enter into the joy of your Lord. What is that in the bigger picture of the Bible? Eternal rewards in heaven. They were allowed to enter God's kingdom. They were allowed to enter eternity in God's presence, and they would receive rewards in God's kingdom in the life to come. Notice that they got the same answer. Again, worldly speaking, you would think, okay, you gain 5, you gain 2, this guy is better. No, they got exactly the same answer. They got exactly the same reward. The guy who earned 5 didn't receive a higher praise. It wasn't like, hey, you're even better than that guy. Or the guy with 2, the master said, well, you did well, but not as well as the other guy. It wasn't like that. They received exactly the same answer. Why? Because 1 got 5 in the beginning, 1 got 2. And so both of them doubled what the master had given them. I think it tells us something, because we need to be careful in the church not to compare ourselves with each other. How often do we, maybe we don't say it like that, but somewhere in the back of our minds we think something like, I'm serving more than you. I'm spending more hours a week working on this than you do. I'm doing more for the church, so I'm a better Christian than you are. And I'm receiving a better reward than you do. In this parable, it clearly tells us we can't think like that. Maybe you are serving more than someone else, and maybe the reason is God has given you more talents. Maybe God is expecting more from you because God has given you more gifts, more abilities, and he wants you to multiply those, and he is expecting more from you because you've been given more. So this whole idea that we can measure our spirituality by how much we serve in the church, it's not biblical, and we need to think differently. We cannot measure how good we are, how well we are doing with God, by how much we invest in the church or how much fruit comes out of our ministry. It doesn't work like that. So the first 2 servants got their money, they doubled it, and the master said, well done. What about the 3rd one? He who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not spread. I was afraid. I was afraid, went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have what is yours. His strategy was, whatever the master has given me, I just need to acknowledge that it's his. I just need to return it to him. And as long as I don't do anything with it, as long as I don't use it for myself, as long as I don't spend it or whatever, then all is good. He was afraid of the master. That was his first misconception. He thought that the master is a harsh man. And he thought, and which is correct, the master doesn't need his help. This master was not about money. This master was not about multiplying, getting more and more rich. God owns everything anyways. So he doesn't need our help to get more rich. That's not what God is after. What is God after? Exposing what's in our hearts. He wants to reveal to us what is in our hearts, what is valuable to us. And that is what this story is all about. This master doesn't care in the end if he now has 20 or 21 talents, or if he had also doubled it, then he had 22. This master isn't after money. But the whole point of this exercise was, show me what is in your heart. Show me what is valuable to you. Show me how you see me. Show me how you relate to me. Show me by how you use the money, whether you follow my instructions, whether you do what I want you to do, or whether you are afraid, or, not in this story, but whether you just throw the money away or use it for yourself or whatever. And this guy got exposed. This whole exercise exposed him that he was afraid of the master, thinking that he's a harsh man and that he doesn't need his help. So he's like, okay, since you're such a harsh man, I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to trade with the money and lose some of it, and then in the end you get less back than what you have given me. That cannot happen. He was afraid of messing things up. What if I start trading and then the people that I give the money to, they take off with the money, and in the end I have nothing? Or maybe it's some bad trades and the stock market breaks down or something like that, and then only 10% is left in the end. He was afraid of losing what belongs to the master. What if things don't work out? And that's why he was saying, I'm not taking any risks. I'm not willing to use what the master has given me. The risk is just too great. And so what was his response? I'll hide it. Nobody will ever know about it. Because the more people know that I have this money of my master in my pocket, the more pickpockets come, or someone who will just rob me or break into my house at night. So I need to avoid all these dangers. So the safest place to not lose this money is by going in my backyard, digging a hole, so nobody will ever know. And if I put it there, I'll just wait until my master comes back. And once he comes back, then I'll just give it back to him, because it's his anyways. He just wanted to hide the money, and he just wanted nobody to know that the master had given him money. That was his whole strategy. Did it work? Not really. Verses 26 and 27, his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. That's quite harsh. He called him wicked and he called him slothful. Some translations say lazy. You knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not spread. That's the master saying, I didn't really need your help. I can gather money, I can multiply money wherever and whatever way I want. I don't need your help. This whole exercise was not about me getting more rich. This is not the point. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest. So in other words, he was saying, hiding the money, hiding the talent, is not what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to use it. I wanted you to multiply it. The master simply wanted the servant to use what was given to him. Not hiding it, not being afraid, not being fearful of what might happen. The master simply wanted him to use it and to multiply it. In the bigger picture of the Bible, we can say the same. God doesn't need us. God could save the whole world by in a moment. He could just reveal himself, send some angels, and the whole world would say, oh yeah, Jesus is God, now I believe. That's not beyond God's abilities. He could do that if he wanted to. He doesn't need us to evangelize. And we cannot save people. Only God can save people. God doesn't need our help to make money. Everything is his anyways. That's not the point. The point is, he wants us to use what he has given us. Gifts, abilities, money, relationships, whatever God is giving you, whatever God is giving me, what he wants us to do is multiply what he has given us. We are in a love relationship, not necessarily romantic, but we are in loving relationships with other people. We receive love from other people. God wants us to multiply it, spread it around. We receive money. God wants us to multiply it, manage it well, and use it for God's kingdom, use it for God's glory. God is giving us a gift of prophecy or healing or whatever. What does he want us to do with it? Use it for the glory of God, so that people will see who God is through the spiritual gift that he has given us. Of course, worldly speaking, it's possible that this guy could have invested the money and lost because the trade just didn't go well, and in the end, he only has 60% left. Question: who controls the trade market? Who makes sure that this money actually multiplies? It's the master anyways, because God is in control of everything. This guy was not in any risk that he might use it and invest and then lose half of its value or something like that. Because the master is in control, God is in control, and if this guy had invested his one talent that he had got, that he did get, the master would have made sure that it would have multiplied. But he just looked at it from a worldly point of view. He just looked at the worldly realities. And he just said, no, too risky. I'm afraid. And that's why he hid it. And that's why he got the response that he got. Verses 28 to 30. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who has 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what is the consequence of him not using the talent? He lost everything. And in the bigger picture of the Bible, he ended up in hell. This was a serious matter. The master didn't say, well, at least you didn't lose it. At least you didn't use it for yourself. At least you didn't just throw wild parties or something like that and did selfish things. At least you acknowledge that it's mine. So, you didn't do great, but it's okay. He didn't say that. He said, because you were afraid, because you didn't invest it, because you didn't multiply it, because you didn't even bring it to the bank so that at least it would gain some interest, you couldn't even do that. Come on. You're lazy. You're slothful. You are not worth entering God's kingdom. That was the message. Harsh words, but that is what Jesus was saying. The consequence of hiding the master's money was rejection. So how does this apply to us? Like I said earlier, it applies to every aspect of our lives, our time, our money, relationships, our bodies, all kinds of things. But today, I want to focus on what we are talking about in this church right now, our gifts and our abilities, our calling that God has for each and every one of us. Last week, we looked at the fact that God has given gifts to every single one of us. Some have wisdom and knowledge, some have prophecy, hospitality, all these gifts. Now, looking at today's parable, we can see if we don't use the gifts that God has given us, it's an offense to him. It's a serious matter. And it's also a serious matter if we tell each other, don't use your gift. That's why in this church, we want to encourage everyone, use your gift, use your calling, use what God has given you, use it for God's glory. If we are not using our gift, whatever our gift is, we are just like the servant. We're just going in our backyard, we're digging a hole, we don't let anyone know that God has given us this gift, and we hope that nobody will ever find out. Because we know that when other people realize that God has given us something and we are hiding it, then they will tell us to use it. And we don't want that. So we have a gift. We don't want anyone to know. So we don't tell anyone. We just hide it. And we just pretend that it's not there. And what is God's response? That is the acts of a wicked person. That is the acts of a slothful person. That is the acts of a person who is unworthy to enter God's kingdom. Hiding our gifts is a serious matter. Now, I want to be careful. This is, of course, not salvation by works, because that is then again very wrong. If we now, if someone leaves here today and thinks like, okay, so in order to enter God's kingdom, I have to perform, I have to do all these things. That's salvation by works. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, if I truly believe who God is, if I truly believe who I am, according to God's word, if I truly believe that God has given me gifts and abilities to use for his glory, and if I really love him and I give my life to follow him and to worship him, I will use my gifts. Not because I have to, but because I want to. I don't use my gifts in order to be saved. I'm using my gifts because I'm already saved and I'm so grateful to God and I so love God that I naturally and willingly use my gifts that he has given me. So this is not salvation by works. First I use my gifts and then I'm saved. It's the other way around. It's evidence of faith. I am already saved, and because I'm saved, I'm using my gifts. So it's evidence of faith and not salvation by works. So the message here is, if you receive a gift, if you receive a talent, if you receive an ability, a calling from God, if he wants you to say, if he is saying to you, I'm calling you to do this in this time of your life, use it. Step out into the calling, use your gift, do what God wants you to do. Romans 12, we looked at this last week. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it in simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Use the gift that God has given you. Whatever gift, whatever ability he has given you, use it and do not hide it. Hiding your gift, not using your gift, is an offense to God. As we looked at last week, God is not afraid when we make mistakes. So easy to be afraid and to say, okay, I think God has given me the gift of hospitality, but I'm not a perfect host, and my home isn't perfect, and this is not perfect, and maybe they don't like my food, and this and that, and we start making excuses. God is simply saying, use your gift and grow as you use it. Maybe you have the gift of mercy, but we know we are not perfectly merciful. Maybe we know I lose my temper and I'm weak when this happens and I was shouting at someone yesterday, so I'm not merciful at all. If that's the gift he has given you, use it. If we have the gift of teaching or preaching, use it. How often do we then say, okay, I'm not a perfect public speaker and I have no experience, and what if my jokes don't go well, and this and that, and people find all kinds of reasons to not teach. What is God saying? Use your gift. Practice. Grow as you use it. We will grow in our faith and in our abilities while we are using our gifts. We do not have to reach a certain standard before we can use our gift. We grow to the standard that God has for us as we use it. We learn from our mistakes, we learn from our failures, and we grow. So this third servant in this parable should be a warning to all of us. It should be a warning to us that when God is giving us gifts and abilities, and we hide it, and we just don't respond to it, and we don't tell anyone about it, and we hope that it just goes away over time, and nobody will ever mention it to us again, then we are just like the third servant. And that is a serious matter in God's eyes. And if we take that to the extreme, then maybe we will stand before God one day, and he will say, you didn't use what I gave you, you hid it. You just put it in the ground so that nobody will ever find out. This is wicked. This is slothful. This is not being faithful to the calling. This is not being faithful stewardship. And this is evidence that you didn't really believe me. How can we identify the third servant inside of us? Of course, I assume now we do know a calling. We do know what God wants us to do. We do know what a gift is that he has given us. If we don't know that, then that's a separate story. But let's assume we know what God has given us. We know what gift he has given us, what he wants us to do. The first one, I'm afraid. We think of all the negative things that could happen if we use our gift. What about money? What about my reputation? What if nobody responds? And in our minds, we immediately go down all this list of negative things that could happen. What do they point to? They point to fear. It shows that we are afraid of using what God has given us. It's a sign of that third servant. Now, is it wrong to be realistic? Of course not. Just thinking of the time when we moved to Germany, there were a lot of these fears. What about our kids? What about money? What about schooling? What about housing? There were a lot of fears. There were a lot of uncertainties that we were facing. So we were not unrealistic about what we were doing, moving to Germany and starting new. But in the end, we said, we will not hide the talent that God has given us. He has given us the talent, he has given us the calling to move to Germany to start Aletheia. And we are not going to hide it and pretend it's not there because of our fear. We are going to go against our fear and we are going to step into the calling he has for us. So if we allow fears to prevent us from using our gifts, from going after our calling, we are like the third servant. Another indication of the third servant: I don't want to mess things up. I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to say something wrong. I don't want to misrepresent God. I don't want to cook something people don't like. Whatever kind of mistakes are going on in our minds. And we're like, okay, I don't want to make mistakes. So I will not step into the calling. I will not use the gift that God has given me. It's a sign of the third servant inside of our hearts, because we are afraid of making mistakes. Maybe it's the fear of other people. Something like, I don't want other people to laugh at me. God calls me to lead worship, but I'm not perfect. What if people laugh at me if I make a mistake? What if I teach and I don't make any sense and people afterwards are more confused than they were before they listened to me? Or God has given me the gift of healing, but what if I pray for someone to be healed and then the person does not get healed? And so we start having the fear of man. We start being afraid of what other people, how other people might respond to us if we step into the calling and if we do the thing that God calls us to do, if we use the gift. And again, it comes down to fear, in this case, fear of man. And we don't use the gift he has given us. Another one: I don't want people to feel offended. What if people don't agree with me? What if people then oppose me afterwards and say what you did was wrong, or what you taught was wrong, or whatever? What if people tell me afterwards that I'm a bad teacher? What if I invite people to my home and all they say is, ah, you're just a Jesus freak and you just want to convert me, so I'm not coming to your home? All these kind of thoughts that are sometimes going on in our minds, what does it come down to? We don't want to offend people. And so we hide our gift because we are afraid of offending others. Maybe our fear is, I don't want other people to turn against me. Maybe other people will call me a hypocrite. Maybe other people will call me a bad teacher or whatever. And so I don't want people to turn against me. So I'm going to hide my talent. I'm going to hide my gift. This is a good one. I say that all I need to oppose that all the time in me. I don't have time, or I'll do it later. First, I need to finish my studies, then I will have time to use my gift. First, my kids need to grow a bit older, and then I can have time to use my gift. Or first, I need to grow out of my sin and my weaknesses so that I'm more holy, and then maybe I will be ready to use my gift. Again, this is human wisdom arguing against what God is telling us. And what is God telling us? Use your gift. He doesn't say use your gift once you're holy enough, or once you're good enough, or once you reach a certain standard. God is saying, use your gift. Here's another one. Others can do it better. Yeah, I could help in Sunday school, but others can do it better. They have more experience. Yeah, I could teach a message now and then, but others can do it better, so I'm not going to do it. Or yeah, I could help with some administrative work, but I think others in the church, they are better in this, so let them do it. I won't step in. Again, excuses. God is calling us to do something, and we are rationalizing it and saying, I'm not using the gift that God has given me, and this is the reason. But this is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to use our gifts. And he wants us to shine forth with our gifts. And that doesn't mean we have to be perfect. And of course, it will mean that we will make mistakes and all kinds of things will happen. But as long as our hearts are in the right place, God wants us to simply use the gifts he has given us. Even if we are not perfect, even if others can do it better, even if we think I'm not the right person, or even if we think I need to wait for another 6 months or whatever. If God has given you a gift, if God has given you a calling, he wants you to use it here and now. Don't be the third servant. Don't hide it. Don't think if nobody else knows, then I'm good. It's not enough to simply acknowledge, okay, God, you have given me this gift, it's yours. It's not enough. Use it. Multiply what God has given you. That's a calling he has for all of us, all the time. So the conclusion today is the same that we had last week. Use your gift. Use the abilities, use the gifts that God has given you, that God has given me. Use it for God's glory. Don't be the third servant. Don't be someone who hides it. Don't be someone who says, okay, if nobody finds out, then all is good. It's an offense to God. And he, as we saw in this parable, has a very strong opinion against this kind of attitude. What gifts, what calling, what abilities has God given you? Whatever it is, use it. If it's in this church, then let's talk with each other about it, and we'll pray over it, and we'll discern together, and we'll see how it fits in this church, like Lyo was sharing earlier. If it's something that he wants you to use at your workplace or in your family or outside this church, then use it there. I can't tell you what your gift is. You need to figure that out with God. We cannot tell that to each other. You need to figure out what your gift is, what your calling is. I need to figure that out for myself as well. And we need to reevaluate because it changes over time. But the point is, whatever God's gift is, whatever his calling is, use it. Use your gift. Step out. Be active about it. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity to use it. Don't wait until everything falls together and you see a light from heaven that tells you now it's time to use your gift. That's not how it works. Simply use it, and God will bless it. May we pray. God, thank you for entrusting us your good news. Thank you for entrusting us your kingdom on this earth. Thank you for entrusting us the ministry that you have started 2,000 years ago. And thank you, Lord, for having a plan for all of us, having a gift for all of us, having a calling for all of us, and probably even multiple for every single person in this room, for every single person who belongs to Aletheia right now, people who will join this church later. You have a gift, you have a calling, you have something for every single person. Lord, give us the faith and the courage to use it. Give us the faith and the courage to step in our calling. Lord, we pray that you will identify any fears in our lives that prevent us from stepping into it. Any lies that Satan is throwing at us that stop us from using it. Anything like that, Lord, we pray, help us to resist these lies. Help us to resist these fears. And help us to take your call seriously. Lord, we want to be one of those first two servants. When we meet you face to face, that you will say to us, I've given you a family, I've given you relationships, I've given you a body, I've given you money. But also, I've given you a talent, I've given you a gift, I've given you a calling. And when we see you face to face, we want you to say to us, well done. I've given you a calling and you have multiplied it. You have used it. I've given you a gift and you have multiplied it. You have used it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into the Father's happiness. Lord, we want to be that kind of servant. So please speak to us today and give us the faith and the courage to step into the calling that you have for us. That we will no longer hesitate, we will no longer allow lies and fears to stop us. But from this day onward, we will step out and we will use the gift, use the talent that you have given us. For the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. As usual, take a few moments and hear what God is saying.